Welcome to Quarantine Good, the only podcast that looks at things you've gotten into over the pandemic and decides whether you should keep doing them as you transition back out into the world or if you should never speak of them again. I'm James Hamilton.
I'm David Twitey, and we are the two guys who will be judging how you've been spending your time. How you doing, James?
I'm feeling good. I had a weekend away with friends. I forgot that was a thing you could do. That you could do something for a weekend.
Hold hands.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we did. We just sat around. We held hands and breathed into each other's mouths. How are you doing?
America's back, baby. I'm good. I've been like, it's been a big, we haven't recorded in a couple weeks. So like a lot of milestones. I went back to work in an office for the first time.
Wow.
Since March 11th of last year or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know, a lot to talk about, but we have a very good guest for you guys here today. Comedian, podcaster, Jake Flores, everybody.
Hello, everyone. It is a lovely day. Good to be here.
thanks for being here. How's quarantine treated you? How are you transitioning back into normal life?
Crazy, but I guess I have a guilt complex over it because there's parts of it where I'm like, I fucking loved it. Like,
yeah.
Because I was so busy before the pandemic hit, and like the only way to really compete and get ahead in any of the various things that we all do is to burn the candle at both ends and sort of like work a day job and then go work for 8 hours being a comedian and a podcaster at night and all this stuff. And so because I was living like that for a long time and just like, you know, touring and stuff, and there's this thing in comedy where there's this constant pressure to like never stop, because if you stop, you are negative is happening. You're by virtue of not doing anything, you're falling behind everyone.
Yeah.
The idea that a global fucking disaster would happen and unseat that, it was so attractive to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you got to take time off and you weren't losing, because everyone was, you know, in theory supposed to stop or whatever. So I was really into the gap year part of it. Because I had all this stuff I wanted to get done, and I was just like, never going to happen, you know?
It's like the ultimate snow day. It's like the ultimate snow day effect, where it's like, you know, this is a crazy thing, but I get to stay home.
Yeah. Just the absence of FOMO for a year is, like, phenomenal, where it's just like, what you can stop going, what is everybody else doing? And it's like, oh, it's what I'm doing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for like comedians, there's like a hyper extra layer of that with like the stupid Malcolm Gladwell, I need to be doing my 10,000 hours thing.
Right.
But that's also what life is like if you're not like rich, really. Like if you do like gig work and stuff like that, you get stuck into this weird thing where you're like, you feel guilty anytime you're not like making money or putting hours into the fucking DoorDash app or whatever. So like, that was kind of broken too, because they had to just give us unemployment and shit. So, fucking fantastic, really.
Yeah, there's a line from the David Berman's Purple Mountains album that came out last year or a couple years ago. That's when you're seller and commodity, you got to sell yourself immodestly. And it's like the having to be a product all the time is like pretty fucking exhausting.
Yeah, I am feeling that I am out of shape doing that now. You know, there's the sense of like, how do you get back on shows? How do you get back out there in a way? And I'm just like, I'm so out of shape from having to be a brand for myself instead of just, I've like been a human for a year, and that's pretty cool.
It's like weird. It feels weird to go back, right? Almost like it's unnatural to go back to living like that.
Yeah. We couldn't take the hint, you know?
That is really the most tragic thing about all of this, is just watching everyone learn fucking nothing and immediately revert back to the thing that you were planning on reverting back to, whether it be one addiction or the other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, God is sending us a message. He doesn't want stand-up to go on. He wants us all to make front-facing videos. That's...
I couldn't help throughout the quarantine but think, like, this does seem, like, heavy-handed. It seems like the universe is unsubtly like giving you a gift in this, and no one like did anything with it. It was like one of those things where you just look at like humanity and you're like, yeah, this is a doomed species, because this like obvious, heavy-handed, like almost like biblical sort of test is just being failed left and right.
Totally. There were like those first few weeks where there were actually like, I mean, the joke became nature is healing, but there were actually images of like the environment doing better because people weren't out in there. And we were like, can't wait to get back to ruining that shit. You know? I gotta get back out there.
This whole time is just like, should we change the way that we do some basic things? Should we change the way that we value certain things? Nope. We're back, baby.
No.
Should we change the way we, you know, get ourselves food and products and stuff? It's like, no, let's just teeter on just complete disaster at all times. And the only difference is that now we all know it. We all have that anxiety right there.
Even on like a global level, like you really could feel that with the level of crisis that the world was in, just government wise. And you were looking at it and going, this is how history changes. Like things break on like a tectonic level, and then you are forced to reshape them. And you just saw Joe Biden up there just like, just grinding his teeth like, no, no, not gonna do it. And he fucking pulled it off. And it was like held back the wheels of history. It was amazing. Nothing fucking changed.
It's a very strong man. We did all watch Queen's Gambit, so I mean, it's not a total loss.
We worked in some good viewing in there.
The thing that it's like, the anti-vax thing is really getting very depressing to me at this point. Like that, there was that store in Tennessee that was selling like the stickers that were like the Holocaust stars that said not vaccinated on them. And it's just like, wow, we just as a species can't fucking do anything together, huh?
No, that is so just like tacky at the very least.
Yeah, I think a lot of people actually did find that to be in rather poor taste.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jake, I'm curious, what quarantine activity are you bringing to us today?
Okay, so my thing that I wanted to talk about with you guys is not so much like an activity. Like, I know a lot of people during quarantine are like, I'm going to learn to play the guitar, or I'm going to get really into making, like, you know, 3D printing or something like that. Mine is not a hobby as much as it was a quest. So
okay, yes.
I had this fucking thing that was killing me for a long time, but it required a lot of time to really work out. And when the pandemic happened, that was kind of a blessing, because I was like, oh my God, there's actually time to like sit down and make all the phone calls and yada, 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 work this thing out. So what it is I had a sleep disorder. I guess I still have it. And I was so it, like for the last few years before the pandemic, I was really starting to figure out that I have a legitimate case of what's called sleep apnea. And the thing is, it's hard. You would think, like, how do you not know that? But it's a thing that happens while you're sleeping. So it's like this Philip K. Dick novel type thing where you're like...
Perfect crime.
Like, the other me in the shadow dream world is, like, dying all the time. And I have no idea. And he's, like, screaming at me through the dreams, like, fucking fix this, you know? So it started happening, like, I mean, I was in, like, relationships. Whoever I was dating would, like, put on, I noticed they were just, like, putting on, like, earplugs, like they were going to watch The Locust or something, like, while we were going to sleep. And I was like, is it that bad? And then they would, like, you know, fucking take a video of me while I was sleeping and show it to me. And, you know, it's like this insane noise concert is just happening every time I sleep.
Well, I'm sure that early on, it's like, embarrassing. The first time you see it, you're like, oh shit, I can't believe that's what I sound like. And then it becomes, I would guess, probably a joke where you're like, it's pretty funny that I do that.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're like, this is actually a serious problem. Yeah. This is actually not good.
Yeah. And so it was like a whole arc. And it was like, it's weird also because like no one, on TV, they depict a world where like, I have a problem. You go to a doctor, he's wearing a white lab coat. They figure it out. And then there's a cure. This is not how anything works in real life. Different doctors told me different shit about it. Everyone had a different opinion. Every person I know was just like, you got to use echinacea root or whatever, man. And like, yeah. No one knows how to fix any of this shit. So like, yeah. I figured out eventually though, that I remembered my mom has really bad sinuses and always had to go like get weird surgeries done and stuff growing up. So I asked her about it and she's like, oh yeah, that's like genetic. Like we all have it. And so I asked her about it, and she was just like, I don't know. And I was just like, well, okay, like, you just never did anything about this. All right, I had to take it upon myself to kind of look into it. And I really started noticing it because I just started, like, nodding off at, like, open mics and stuff. I'd work all day, and then I would go try to do spots, and I'd be, like, literally exhausted. And people will tell you, you're just getting old, you know, but, like, I started to put it together. I was like, no. This is weird. Like, this is something else. You're not supposed to just pass out at a bar at, like, 5 p.m. or whatever. And so I started looking into it, and I started to get really, like, concerned because if you actually look into this shit, it's what's happening is you're dying, like, 35 times a night. It's crazy. You're choking. Like, you can't breathe.
You're literally dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wow. So that snoring, the yell snoring I was doing was like, it was because I was like fucking choking. And like, wow. It fucks up your REM cycles. So you're supposed to get like REM cycles, but they get interrupted because you start choking. And then like, you wake up and you feel really unrested, even though you rested like 8 hours. And so I put this together and then I started looking into it. And it's like, if you don't fix this, if you just let this happen, the older you get, it leads to like all these like strokes and pulmonary conditions and stuff like that. And it's all the information is just out there, but this country is just fucked for like, you know, medicine and the industry that's supposed to be in place to help you fix this stuff. So everyone's just like, yeah, you know, chew on a salt tablet or you'll be, I don't know, you know. And I'm like some dumbass guy who works in restaurants and is like uninsured. So I had to start figuring out like, how do I fix this? And so the first thing I did I guess before the quarantine, I had like got insurance. Like I went and figured out how to get on Medicaid. But the thing is Medicaid, like if you have to re-enroll every year. So I'd be on tour for like 6 months and then forget to re-enroll. And then I'd come back and I'd go to a doctor and they'd go, you don't have any insurance. I go, fuck, all right, I guess I'll try again next year. And it was like this years long process because you have to wait to re-enroll and all this shit.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of the pandemic, I started thinking about this and I was like, okay, now there's time. Like there's time for this long ass thing. I can like, I can put the, like, I can write the memento notes on myself and stuff and like remember to do it. Because the other part of this that makes it so difficult is like, I can't remember what the myth is. It's in Ovid's The Metamorphosis, which is like that old Greek epic poem that all the Greek, you know, metaphorical figures come out of, like the Argus with the million eyes, it's a peacock and stuff like that. There's a really good one about a guy who's trying to rescue someone from the castle of sleep, and he's like this knight, and he's like trying to go deeper and deeper into the castle that's like ruled by this sleep demon. It's badass. And
wow. That place sounds awesome, dude.
It sounds really relaxing. But the problem is if you're trying to get something out of the sleep castle, like you are, as the character are like constantly getting groggier and groggier the further you get into it. That's a good metaphor, I think, for trying to fix like a medical problem in this country. Because it's like the thing that you're trying to fix is going to fuck you up and fuck up your ability to like concentrate enough to fix it. So
totally.
The quarantine really put me in a place where I was like, okay, wait a minute. There's so much time. Like I can figure this out and like really organize a whole cork board and shit with doctors' fucking names on them and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you run into issues like at any point of like doctors being busy handling the pandemic? Like did you have to wait for a certain amount of time before they started to like move past capacity? Because early in the pandemic, it seemed like you know, anyone with any level of doctor expertise was getting called to do, particularly here in New York City, was getting called into, like, the emergency room. Did you experience any of that, or was it kind of like, by the time you were doing this, it had kind of worked itself out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, the first part of the pandemic, it was like, oh, okay, well, one half of the problem is solved, but the other half is that now you can't go to the hospital for anything. That was a real thing. You couldn't go if you had, like, turned an ankle or something. It was, like, really dangerous. Or you were like, maybe I'll get COVID if I go down.
Right,
there.
So you shouldn't. They had, like, refrigerated trucks outside the buildings. Like, it was just, I mean, Brooklyn was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'd walk past the refrigerated truck full of dead people and be like, I'm here for my snoring disease.
I'm very tired. Please, I'm so sleepy.
Are those guys sleeping in there? Can I hang out in there? So the first thing I did, because that was, you're right, that was like a fucking roadblock at the beginning of this, was so one thing that people say when you start reading the forums and shit about this is like, hold on, back up. You might not need to go through the whole process to get the CPAP machine. You might be able to reset your jaw with this fucking weird, like, mouth guard thing.
Wow.
So what you do is you get this mouth guard thing, and it's only like $20 or something. You get it from Walmart, and you get like a piece of heatable, like, epoxy resin plastic or whatever.
I have one of these.
You heat it up in the microwave, and then you put it in your mouth, and you just, like, squeeze it with your jaw for a while, and it, like, sets, and you make a cast of your teeth, and you, like, poke a little hole in it so you can breathe, and then you sleep with it, and if for some people, it, like, resets, it pulls your jaw, because the reason this is happening is because, like, when you sleep, if you have a head that's shaped like mine, I guess, your jaw, like, sinks back, and then it fucks up everything. So what this does is it, like, you're like a boxer. It's cool. I had fun with it. I wore, like, a robe like I was boxing and shit, and the mouth guard in, and I'd go to sleep. But the problem is it just didn't fucking work. Like, my girlfriend at the time was just like, yeah, you still snored and shit. I still felt like shit. I was like, all right, the magic bullet thing didn't work for me, so I got to go through the whole process.
The thing that I'm picturing right now isn't a mouth guard. It's just that I've got, like, one of the more deranged YouTube ads that I've gotten is for this thing that you're supposed to, like, it's like a rubber ball that you chew on that's supposed to give you a more chiseled jaw.
Oh, wow.
The further you get into, like, this equipment, the more it either looks like you are getting into, like, the Blue Velvet, the guy with who just do the gas day, or, like, Darth Vader, or just deranged sexual shit. You know, like the ball gag from fucking Pulp Fiction or whatever, but it's it's for my sleep, you know, when you're on an airplane.
Trying to reset my jaw here, except you can't say it. You can't say that because you got that in your mouth.
So
calm down.
So, you know, how did this resolve? Is what I'm curious how this, like, played out.
So I figured that didn't work, and then enough time passed where it was like, all right, you can kind of go to a doctor. And I guess what I did was I went and I found this Russian guy who's all the way in fucking Coney Island. So I had to go to Coney Island every time I wanted to go see this guy. And he's got, like, a pulmonary clinic for, I don't know, it's, you know, everything in medicine is, like, ear, nose, throat, arm. Like, we specialize in 10 different things. So this guy out in Coney Island, I'd go to him, and, it, like, he was cool. By the way, the first time I ever went out and tried to, like, get a doctor to diagnose me with this thing that I figured out I had, I had this guy in Brooklyn who was just like an old Brooklyn Jewish guy or whatever, and like I called him on the phone and he was like, you don't have sleep apnea, and I was like, I think I do, and he was like, you don't have sleep apnea, trust me. And I'm doing the Star Wars offensive voice, but I swear to God,
it's Watto from episode one.
Yeah, I swear that's what he sounded like. And I showed up and I was like, okay, test me. And he was like, you don't have it. Only like 400-pound people have this. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, that's not true. And then he was like, you don't have it. And then he took a flashlight and he shined it down the back of my throat. And he was like, you might have it. And
the weight thing is like such a weird blind spot for doctors. Like they,
it's crazy.
Doctors like uniquely despise fat people, and yes. like they know they like went to all this school, and yet like they just like chalk so many things up to just that. Like you're not fat enough to have sleep apnea or whatever.
And this is this resonates with me so much because I'm diabetic. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 26. And essentially I had these, I had like a doctor who was looking at me being like, nah, there's no way you're diabetic. Look at you. You're pretty skinny. And I was like, I think it's more complicated than that. I feel terrible. Please help me. You know, and they're like, I don't think so. And then eventually they run tests and they're like, you're not doing well. You are very diabetic. And even, you know, for years after that, nobody could even tell me why I was diabetic because nobody would actually do any tests because they were just like, well, if you're skinny like this, you must be just this one type one that we read about in med school and we're not going to actually evaluate this any deeper. And so yes, they have some real issues with people's weight, but I think the thing that is interesting in this to me is like how crazy making it is to go to doctors where you're like, I know I feel like crap, I know something's wrong, can you just like listen to me for a second? And they're like, no, that's, it's fine, it's, you're okay, just keep going. And how like how affirming it is to have a doctor actually name the thing, just even to tell you that it's real, is just so affirming because you've gone through so long of them saying it's not.
Yeah, and it's the other thing is like, you know, you should take a moment and look at these individual doctors and like allow yourself to go, that's a doctor, but that's also a person, and you can tell a person, shut up, you're an idiot, because it's like medicine is very advanced. Doctors are still individual people, nurses are still individual people. Yes. Like there's this kind of just the white lab coat thing really bothers me, because like there's people that just like completely check out. With they relieve themselves of any agency and give themselves into like something like a psychiatrist or a doctor and stuff like that. And it's like, you have to have an active engagement in this stuff because they will for sure. also fuck up, you know, it's, they're humans and it's imperfect systems. That really happened to me with that guy. And he did another thing that's kind of up this alley, which is that he asked me what I did for work and I was a bartender at the time. And then he was just like, you got to quit bartending. And I was like, it's my job. Fuck you. I don't know how to, like, what do you mean? You know, I didn't come here for this moral advice, you know, but he started telling me.
Have you ever thought about specializing in feet?
Yeah.
Maybe. Throats.
You know, dermatologists make very good money, Jake.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just go do that. You know what I mean? Like, and so, yeah, I mean, it was this weird thing where he was deflecting it real hard, and he kind of put it back on me, and I was like, all right. But then I just kept going. For years, I was like, it really started to occur to me when I'd be on tour, because I would be crashing in people's houses who had never heard me sleep before, and they would be like very pleasant to me while I was at their house awake, and then in the middle of the night I just wake up and someone's like banging on the door. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'd go, yeah, this is probably like really loud, this is probably like really abnormal, and also like I just get really tired on stage sometimes. And I would go, you know, maybe it's adrenaline, maybe it's like the road, it's traveling on mega buses, or, you know, it's drinking too much or whatever. And the thing is, you know, sure, it is all those things, but
yeah,
you can
help, but
yeah, but you can like you can really like put that stuff in front of the root cause of shit, and then just like get into this weird like self-help thing, like, I'm only, you know, I eat vegetables now and I only get tired a little bit or whatever. And I just really got stuck on like this thing where I was like, no, I think this is the root cause, I think this is like what all this other stuff are exacerbating. And I don't know, I just I like road comedy, and I something about it was really bothering me. I was like, man, this sucks. There's like this monkey wrench thrown into the system where like I can't do this if I'm too tired to literally talk into a microphone. That's, you have one job, it's very easy, you know. So it's really like coming to a head. And when I went to that Russia doctor, he was cool about it, and he had like a better kind of take on it, and he looked at it and he was like, great, you know, but then starts the process of like, when you do this, you have to come back, like the legality of it. It's so fucking stupid. I'm a stupid fucking leftist podcaster and shit, and I could talk about universal healthcare all day or whatever, but like, I wish that I was in the UK or something, and because I think they would just give you the shit, you wouldn't have to jump through all these weird hoops. In the US, when you do this sort of thing, it's required that you do like a general checkup. So like you're there, I'm there to fix my throat, but it's like I have to go. The guy checks my lungs and, you know, eyes and shit. And then you're not allowed to come back for like 2 months or something. And then you come back 2 months later and they do like they make you take this like robot thing home and hook up to your nose and your fucking like like a little sensor thing on your finger and shit, like you're in a hospital bed, and you have to sleep with it like overnight a few nights in a row and then bring it back to the hospital. And like I fucked up and didn't do it one night because I was like busy or something, and then they started calling me and they're like, do you have the robot? Why don't you bring the robot back? Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't know I had to do it in like 3 days exactly. Like, all right, I'll do it, you know. And I did it, and I had gotten this far in the process before and then had my insurance tick back and lapse and then have to start all over. So it's been going on for fucking years.
Jesus Christ.
But this time I did it. I took the little machine home, and then they go, okay. And then they read the results of it, and then they go, yeah, it turns out, look, you're dying like 30 times a night. You can see here, here, and here, and here. And you go, I know. And then they go, okay, wait 3 months and then come back to this other thing. And so I came back to the next step in the process, you know, fucking fall of last year or whatever.
Oh my God.
And they're like, so the next step is they refer you to like another place, like a sleep center.
Right.
And you go in and you check in with them. And when I brought that fucking home sleep study back, I brought it back to them and I was like, okay, can we move forward now? And I swear to God, I went all the way to this place in Park Slope after having done all of this. And they were like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. It turns out we don't take your insurance. And I was like, whoa, like, okay. Like, what do you mean?
Oh my God.
Like, a doctor sent me here. I didn't come to you. I didn't find you because I looked up. And they were just like, yeah, your doctor fucked up. And I was like, well. And then I just looked at, and then I was just realized I was looking at some fucking cog in a machine, like some nurse. Yeah, and I was like all right.
He's like, not doing this at you or anything, but it's just like, this is normal here.
You just feel like you're in like Catch 22 or something, and you're like, ah, it's the whole machine, you know?
Yeah.
So fucking eventually, like, figured out through the original doctor, I told him, you fucked up and you sent me to the wrong guy. They didn't take my insurance, yada, yada, yada. And I figured out I thought I was going to have to do the whole robot thing over again. And then I figured out you can like subpoena that information and have it sent to another sleep center.
Yeah.
So I finally, the Russian guy in Coney Island was like, well, here's what you need to do. You need to find your own sleep center and you need to find one that's near you because they're going to want it to be the one that's nearest you, and find the one that takes your insurance and all this stuff. And so I went home and I got on Google Maps and I found the closest sleep center to me that does take my insurance, which is in like Bushwick in my shitty neighborhood. And it has 1 star on Google Maps.
Oh yeah. Any Bushwick medical practice is not doing great on Yelp, I don't think.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact like ins and outs of this, but I dated somebody who was like who worked in medicine, was a nurse and stuff. And I know a lot of like EMS types and stuff, and like Woodhull and the one on Wyckoff over there and one other one, they all have, for different reasons, really specific bad reputations. I can't remember which one it was. I think it's Woodhull. An EMS once told me, their in-joke is that we call that one the Casino of Life, which is fucked up.
It's like the Castle of Sleep. They should be attached to each other.
Yeah, yeah. Those actually are both really cool. I'm going to start it. Like, I'm going to write a video game with both of these.
For sure.
The Casino of Life, as in, you know, ding, 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 ding. Like, you might die. Like,
yeah.
It's like throwing the roulette wheel or whatever.
It's cool to, like, get hit by a car in Bushwick and then wake up in a hospital and be like, which terrible place am I in right now?
Yeah, I need to write this stuff down somewhere or carry a card with me or something, because I always forget, like, one of them is really bad if you are, like, injured, and one of them is really bad if you're sick. Like, they have, like, different reasons. I can't remember which ones they are.
One always tells the truth and one always lies.
Yeah.
I mean, but these medical places in general, it sounds like these are particularly bad, but medical places in general usually have very bad ratings. Because nobody is going on there to be like, pretty good. I liked being in the hospital a lot. It was great.
I got an elective appendectomy.
Yeah. People are only like, I ended up here. I didn't want to be here. And then they removed the wrong organ, you know? And you're like, they're only saying terrible. They're only documenting the bad things. But when insiders already were, you know, other EMS, other medical people know that these are bad, that's when you know it's uniquely awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the real bad sign.
I mean, that is a good point, because you don't usually Yelp a medical clinic. So, no, yeah. Anyone that had a good experience just leaves. They're not like, I need to go, you know, tell people about this or whatever.
Right.
So, I went to this little dingy, dirty place, and it was pretty gross. It just felt like, I mean, you go in, and there's a bed, and you sleep on it with all the tubes and shit hooked up to you, and like, you know, it's just different people sleeping in that bed one after the other every night. Most of them are probably old and dying and shit, so it is like not cute. It is gross. But it was all right. I did the thing, stayed overnight. They told me 30 times or whatever. Some weird nurse that worked there asked me about my t-shirt. I was wearing one of my friend Rory Blank's t-shirts that he makes. It's just got like a cat on it with a knife in its mouth, and it says like crime lord or something, and she was like trying to like make small talk. She's like, oh, what is crime lord? I was like, it doesn't matter, you know.
Please just help me sleep.
At this point, like, what is the count on how many institutions you've needed to tell you what you already knew at this point? Are we up to 3 or 4? Like,
In the process of it working, this is like the third place I've been to. But that's if you don't include
successful attempt.
Like, that's if you don't include like the other studies that I did and the other doctors that I talked to. I guess this is like, this is the third location, you know? Mm-hmm. You went to the doctor, and then they referred you to the sleep person, and then they referred you to the sleep center or whatever.
Was there a night, or even sleeping at this place on the deathbed where, you know, everybody else had been sleeping or whatever, was there a moment where you went to sleep, you had this machine hooked up, and you woke up and you're like, oh, that's how sleep is supposed to feel?
Yeah, for sure. So this night was the first time that I had like a full-on like CPAP thing hooked up to me. Uh-huh. And I went in at like 9 o'clock at night, and then I let you go at like 5 in the morning, and I got up, and then I stepped out into the disgusting streets of Bushwick, and there's trash everywhere, and I was like, wow, what a beautiful day, because like it was the first time I had felt that in a long time. And it's weird, because every once in a while I think I would fall asleep and crash at some weird angle where it like it kept my throat open, and so I would wake up sometimes, honestly, like, this is fucked up, but after like doing drugs and shit, because I think it was just like burning a hole, like if I was doing coke or something, it would burn a hole straight through and actually cause me to breathe better sometimes. So every once in a while I would wake up like at when I shouldn't feel good, but because I did something so weird, it like knocked something loose. So I felt it before. I know what it feels like to feel well rested, and I definitely felt it after the CPAP thing though, that first night, and I was like, okay, this is real. I'm not like imagining this.
Yeah.
Like, this is how you're supposed to feel in the morning. And then I had this whole fucking walk home at like 5 in the morning when it was disgusting outside and shit, where I was like, yeah, I feel great. Like, this is like a wonderful, you know, it was such a pleasant like walk through the neighborhood while it was still dark out and stuff. And then I kind of knew like, all right, I need to get this goddamn machine, because this is what you're supposed to feel like every day, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I, then, you know, yada, 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 like, there's not really much of a story here, but there was just, like, a lot more red tape. I had to keep calling the place and go, like, did you finish running my shit? You know, did you can I get the fucking machine yet or whatever? And it just took, like, forever, because they, like, wouldn't call me. They'd be like, oh, shit, whoops, you know, yeah, totally, I'm gonna order it now. And it took months and months and months. And then finally, like, a month ago,
just a month ago.
Yeah, they.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so it's a fucking year, you know. Yeah.
I've always said that if you know, I say this as a diabetic, but I think it's probably true for any condition, that like having a health condition is like running your own small business if you're in the United States. You have to be on the, it's like having another job in that you're having to call, you're having to manage like packages, you're having to like fill out more paperwork, you're having to, it's like I could have, with all the time that I've spent resolving my own health issues, absolutely could have made like a whole empire of other small businesses that would, you know, have been very successful with how much paperwork and time I've put into this.
Yeah, they put some of it on you. The only experience I've had in recent years that this really reminded me of is when I had to get legal so I could get like my driver's license a few years ago. And it, like, I literally had to use like lawyer friends of mine kind of illegally in their free time to like help me track down tickets that I had in small towns in Texas and like fax shit. You learn how to be a lawyer in the process of doing that, and you learn how to be a fucking hospital worker in the process of this shit. And it's so stupid they just shove all this stuff off on you that should be like somebody else's job, you know?
I mean, it's not only that, like, there's so many people whose jobs are just to generate these kinds of obstacles. Like, it's like the whole function of so many different positions with it. I mean, it's medicine, but it's also everything else.
No, it's the private system. It's fucking stupid. Like, there's so much red tape that is just for the sake of, you know, someone needs to make an extra dollar on top of it or whatever.
But what I'm hearing here is that you are leaving quarantine more rested than you've been in years.
So far, so good. So they called me and they were like, you know, you get to come pick it up. And I was like, you're not just going to mail it to me? They're like, no, I had a bike to Queens and because they show you how to use it or whatever. But it was pretty cool. I mean, it was a nice day out. So I rode my bike down to Queens and I got this little machine.
How big of a package is this?
Like, it's right behind me. I'll show you. It's okay. So I bought a bed frame also over quarantine because I'm trying to sleep better and stuff, and like a nice mattress. And so I got one of those IKEA frames with a little drawer underneath it, like the rollout drawer.
Yeah.
That's where I keep it. So it works. So I just pull out the drawer and shit. It's working pretty well. So this is called a Philips. Yeah, Philips Dream Station 2 is the name of the machine.
Man. So,
how are the graphics on that thing?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, if you were younger and somebody says, hey, in 15 years, you're going to have a Dream Station 2, you'd be like, tight.
So, Jake,
and then later it's like, it keeps you from dying numerous times throughout the night.
So Jake just introduced us, for the listener, he just introduced us to the CPAP machine. It looks like, it's like Roomba-sized.
Yeah,
like
that's exactly what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah, it's like a loaf of bread. It's the size of a little, like, roundy loaf of bread. It's pretty small. I wish I had gotten this problem fixed earlier in my life, but I guess the kind of nice part about it is that as the technology advances, I think they used to look like a 1970s computer, like the whole
that's what I imagined. When you were about to pull this up, I was imagining like a 1970s computer / respirator from a hospital with like Cold War era like metal on it and a bunch of old like air pumps and things, and this was like a pretty sleek little machine here.
Up until this point, I thought you were describing sleeping in an iron lung.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'm describing, actually.
Yeah, with the pump thing that goes up and down next to it.
Right? Like in Big Lebowski, yeah.
So there's another part to this about the evil private medicine industry. So when you get one of these things, right, if you get it through your insurer, they give it to you. But it has a microchip in it that reads and narcs on you and records like whether you use it every night and how many hours you use it. And if you don't use the requisite hours within a month, they repossess it, or they make you spend like $1,000 on it.
Oh my God.
Wow. Isn't that fucked up?
The idea of use it or lose it being an actual policy.
And it's so dark, dude. There's like, it comes with an app so you can track your fucking whatever on your phone and stuff. But like, it's like gamified. It's like, oh, you hit your hours. You reached a new goal. Get a badge or whatever. And it's like, I'm just trying not to fucking die. Like, why does it have to be a Silicon Valley Fitbit thing?
Yeah.
You know, where they, I mean, and it's the gamification is masking the fact that it is like narking on you to a company for the purpose of trying to get another $1,000 out of you, which is fucked up.
I mean, I gotta admit, that kind of shit always works on me. Where I can look at a little graph and it's like, oh, look at me go. When I first started riding my bike, I downloaded Strava, which is one of those apps where you like record your rides and stuff. And I was using that for a little bit, and then I would just like forget to end rides, and then I'd look at it again, and it would have just recorded everywhere I'd been for like the past 2 days.
Yeah, but that's how you get those apps that, you know, are essentially like gamifying your water intake, which I think is like a relatable thing, but feels so dystopian. That it's just like, if you don't play this fun game with fun graphics, I will die from dehydration. I need the game or I won't drink.
Yeah, I mean, what's fucked up about it is that I'm angry at that it is dystopian and evil, but it also is a fun video game. Like, I do enjoy video games, so it's kind of working. It's just, I'm mad that it works. But once you do that for like 3 months, then they fucking they stop, like they just give it to you. So I'm getting close to, I think I have 2 more months to go, and like I'm still like I think I'm still adjusting to it, because what's been happening is you do have like a first few days where you're like, oh my god, this changed everything. But that's also like a psychological thing that people just do whenever you fix anything, and you're like, this was the source of all my problems. So it's somewhere in the middle, but I think right now what's happening with it is that I'll put it on and I'll sleep for 6 hours or like five or something like that. And my body's still fucked up. It expects the fucked up sleep now. So I wake up after sleeping for 5 hours and I'm like, all right, time to go. This is crazy. Like, and I can't get back to sleep. And then I get tired like later in the day. So there's like, I don't know. I think you just, it like takes a while for you to like unfuck yourself or something. But yeah,
like your gas tank got smaller over the course of this or something.
Yeah. The most fucked up thing about this is that phenomenon of going like, wait a minute, this is what normal people feel like all the time. The worst instance of that is when I went out and got drunk with some friends once the quarantine kind of opened up, and I drank like pretty heavy, like, you know, I had a Cobra Club night, and I went home and I used the CPAP machine, and when I woke up, I felt kind of okay, like not nearly as bad as I was before, but then it made me realize all those days in the last like fucking 10 years that I felt like I was dying at work from a hangover, that's not what a hangover feels like. That's like a third thing. And I was like, I wasn't supposed to be walking around like that all day. And I started looking into it, and like people say, like, I don't know how true this is, but this is just something I read. Like, it like, if you're not oxidizing the alcohol in your body with oxygen, that it's like not processing. So you wake up with like this still like liquor in your gut and stuff like that, and it's like why you felt like shit for like 3 days, which is, this is not good. I'm not saying get a CPAP machine so you don't get a hangover and you can drink more.
Just, it's a huge hit with college kids, just like frat boys just getting CPAP machines. No, I have really bad apnea, I swear.
I kind of got really like excited about that for a week, and I found the limit. I like hit the wall. I found out how many drinks I can drink and actually then still really feel like shit, even with the CPAP machine or whatever. But it was a game changer, to be honest with you. Like, I just feel better overall no matter what I do with the thing now. So, to answer your question, that this is the idea, is that I'm emerging from the quarantine like a fat guy CPAP butterfly that's ready to live for the first time.
I mean, so, like, if we're trying to, like, put this on the board, I mean, this has to go, like, pretty much at the top, I think. Like, taking advantage of the extra spare time afforded by quarantine to navigate the labyrinth of the American medical system seems like, I mean, not, like, a pleasant experience to go through.
Incredibly not pleasant.
But a pretty, it's sort of hard for me to think of, like, what would have been a better way to use that time than treating a serious health condition?
I think that's such a good point. I cannot imagine a better use of time than this. I think if anything, if we're factoring it in, it sounds like a maddening odyssey that perhaps in and of itself took off some time of your life, just in terms of navigating this bureaucracy. But I still like the end product, the idea that you came out with like a diagnosis officially from a doctor and a plan and a tool to improve on it it's pretty hard to argue on that.
Plus, you got to go to Coney Island, which is the happiest place on earth.
You got to meet a Russian doctor, and that's fun. I don't care who you are. Yeah.
I'm going to take my machine on the roller coaster at Coney Island.
Get the picture.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, James, I got to say, I mean, all due respect to Kenise Mobley, but I think that this actually even goes above getting into weed during the pandemic.
I think so. I'm trying
you can...
to...
You can win this podcast. I won. That's
cool. You won. You did.
Yeah. The bad thing is that you have to contact Kenise Mobley, who's a competitive person. Yeah, and you have to tell her that you have defeated her.
She might
her.
Come after you, but
yeah, she's not going to take news that you defeated her. Well,
she's going to blow weed into my CPAP machine while I'm sleeping.
She doesn't smoke. She's strictly edibles.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
I do think that it is funny that at the top of good are things like therapy, weed, CPAP machine, doing yoga. It's like, okay, we all knew what the good things were coming in as it was.
Yeah, right.
We could have known, but I agree. I think this is the new challenge. I do want to, because we're talking about sleep, I think if we were to visit the bottom of the board real quick and look at telling people about your dreams, which we currently have as the worst thing possible. We have that as equal to Tiger King. There's no way that telling people about your dreams, we've talked about this, David shamed me, we put it at the bottom board, but while we're talking about sleep, we've talked about how important sleep is, we've talked about how it, yeah, we've talked about this for now a while. I would like to propose that we move that up even a little bit. I propose that we...
Okay, I'll put it above every Saw movie.
Okay, all right. But it's still under almonds?
For now. Okay. We can reassess later. But...
Okay, all right. I'm okay with that. Jake, does that feel good to you? I mean, you didn't know you were going to win a podcast today, but how do you feel about this placement?
I mean, that feels great. Are you kidding me? I like to win. I'm a new man. I can sleep at night, and I'm a new man, and I like to win.
Yeah, this is a new chapter where you just go around defeating other comedians because you're so rested.
Jake, where can people find you and your stuff?
Oh, my handle on all social media is at Feral Jokes. Feral like an animal, jokes like jokes. It's an anagram for my name, and don't follow me on Twitter unless you want to see a bunch of bullshit because people really hate me on there. my podcast... about leftist politics and shit with comedians is called Pod Damn America, and my other one is called Why You Mad. I do it with my friend Luisa Diaz. It's about philosophy and comedy and shit like that. And just follow social media. I put my shows up there when I do stand up and stuff. That's it.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tweety, TVEITE. I'm starting to have some actual stand-up dates, so go to my website, davidtweety.com. What about you, James?
I'm at the Jam Ham. You can find me there. My weekly stand-up show is back. It's called Good Delivery. It's at Gertie in Williamsburg. David's going to be on it soon. We'd love to have Jake as well soon. So, tune in. We have lots of great comedians. That's every week, so you can find that there. But for the most part, you can find David and I. You can find David and me. You can find David and me right here every
week.
What
are you doing, buddy?
I'm falling apart. We made it the whole episode. Now the wheels are coming off. But you can find us here every week. Have a good one. Thanks, Jake.
Thank you. This is a great time.
Quarantine Good is part of the Authentic Podcast Network. Please like and subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts, and tune in next week.